breaking down some really bad thinking. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheep, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And I'll be quite honest, I didn't think we were going to get 3 days out of this subject, but this thing could go on and on and on and on, I guess.
But we're going to promise our listeners that today we're going to end it. Okay, we're not going to keep going on and on about this subject. But if you were with us earlier this week or yesterday's program, you understand that we were talking some about some of the various views and ideas of the breakdowns in the armchair quarterback analyses, or I should say the Monday morning quarterback analyses, that's more appropriate, of why Mitt Romney lost the election. Why Barack Obama got another 4-year term to be president of these United States. Well, what we were talking about yesterday and started on was some commentary by Ohio's own Secretary of State, John Houston. Houston has decided full well that he knows what the guilty culprit is and why Mitt Romney lost. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who weren't listening very closely yesterday, basically what John Houston is saying is, it's the fault of all those conservative groups out there. How dare they? And what he did was he blamed a United States Supreme Court decision called Citizens United. Now, it's a longer title than that for the full court decision, but you can Google up the words Citizens United and you can get the gist of it. Supreme Court said that entities like 501c4 nonprofits, they even went with like unions and corporations and others, could engage politically with their resources to the support or opposition of a candidate, which historically under the tax laws, and especially with the nonprofits, that wasn't allowed to be done in the past. Okay? You could support or oppose an issue as a 501c4, which the Institute for Principle Policy, who partially brings you this program, along with a couple of other groups, is a 501c4 organization. We could weigh in on issues and say yay or nay on an issue like we did with issues 1 and 2 in this last election, but we couldn't say anything about candidates. But Citizens United ruling changed all that and allowed groups like Citizens for Community Values Action, like the Ohio Christian Alliance is one group, like the Institute for Principled Policy, like Ohio Pro-Life Action, to actually be able to endorse candidates. Now, many of our listeners, folks, and many, Chuck, and many folks in the evangelical pro-life, pro-family community always look to the voter guides that many of these groups put out, but now these groups could not only put out a guide saying this is where the candidate stands, but also putting out a recommendation saying we think this person should get your vote, or this person doesn't deserve your vote. And that's been something that's kind of been missing from the equation up until now, up until Citizens United. And so it's been used in this election cycle, and John Houston thinks that that's a bad thing. He says that the decision was awful for Republicans, and he gave some reasons. Chuck, we started going into these on yesterday's program, but we ran out of time. And he basically says, we've managed to prolong a presidential campaign in the primary where people who otherwise could not raise enough money stayed in the race, pounded our eventual nominee, made him go so far out of the mainstream on the positions that he had to take to get through the election that he was damaged goods. And he goes on to talk about another part. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But just going to focus in on the presidential primary. Now, Chuck, we talked about this a little bit offline. And really, John Houston's saying an awful lot more than what he's stating. He's showing some of his cards.
Oh, this is like playing poker with a guy who insists upon leaning over the table, and every time he does, he tips his hand forward so you can see the whole thing. He's easy to beat because you know exactly what he's got in his hand. And the fact is, what he's talking about here is, A, to translate this for you, he got pounded by people who pounded him on mostly on his positions on life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But
and we're talking Mitt Romney here. Mitt Romney was not pro-life, never was, and basically waited till the end of the campaign to expose that fact, which we ran a program on here wherein they ran an ad where Mitt Romney conflated contraception with abortion in an ad that had the title Sarah. And it was this middle-aged, 35-ish, middle-class woman who suddenly comes to the realization that what they're saying about Mitt Romney's position on abortion isn't true. Well, that's the position that Mitt Romney was trying to tell people, was trying to get us to believe was his position, until it became clear that maybe that position wasn't the one he wanted to espouse at the end of the campaign, and then they tried to change it in certain key markets. Now, places like Ohio, I never saw that one on the TV here, but you can guarantee it was seen in more liberal states.
Oh, most likely. But let's go back just real quick for those who didn't listen in yesterday. Because basically, when Houston said this, he says we prolonged a primary where people who otherwise could not raise enough money stayed in the race. Okay, well, folks, the ladies and gentlemen, the reason what he's saying here, really, what he's breaking down is he believes that the party hierarchy should pick a candidate based upon what kind of money they have. Which is part and parcel why the vast majority of mainstream Republicans and party regulars and party officials, like John Houston, all were backing Mitt Romney from the get-go, because they saw him as the money man. He was the guy who was independently wealthy and could bring lots and lots of resources to the table. And honestly, Chuck, when it gets right down to it, if you're someone deeply inside the Republican Party, that's what matters. It's the money. The money is what matters. The issues aren't important because it's the money that matters. And he even exposes himself a little bit on that one, too. But basically, the great thing about Citizens United, folks, so don't let John Houston fool you, is that groups like your local charities and your pro-life and pro-family groups could now raise money and support candidates who uphold their values in primaries in a presidential race. And that levels the playing field, which means that the party bosses can't just shove down somebody's throats who they want them to vote for without experiencing, well, shall we say, a lot of heartburn doing it.
That's absolutely correct. And but basically what Houston is saying here, now let's remind the listeners that you and I have gone to some meetings where candidates for state office have showed up to pander votes. And John Houston was one of those panderers. And boy, did he pander, because he was not taking such a strident position when he announced his candidacy for some of these positions.
Well, it was when he was running for Secretary of State, actually.
Right. Suddenly, he was Mr. Family Man. He was pro-life. He was this and that and another thing. And now, what he's doing here in code is disparaging those very same pro-life forces who he pandered to, because what they did was, they came up against a Mitt Romney, the handpicked candidate of the Republican Party elite, and beat him up to the point where they actually made him take a pro-life position, which he repudiated little by little in the areas where he needed to as he went along in the campaign, and even got Paul Ryan, who had formerly been a personhood advocate, to change over to a rape and incest exception candidate. I think that may come back to haunt Paul Ryan, but that's not the point of this. The point is that John Houston is a mealy-mouthed hypocrite, without doubt. He is basically talking out of both sides of his mouth. He is proving himself to be a true Republican in that he will say whatever he needs to say to whatever group he needs to say it to in order to get the maximum number of votes.
Well, and let's think about some of the things that he actually is saying here. You were right when he said they pounded our eventual nominee. Well, yes, if you get people in there who think independently or who share common beliefs and core values about what the platform's supposed to say or what we're supposed to do as far as protecting defenseless human life or promoting and defending the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman or protecting our Second Amendment rights or limiting government and its incredible outrageous expansive growth. Yeah, well, you know, if your nominee isn't good on any of those issues, they're going to take a pounding, especially in a primary, because the vast majority of primary voters, especially in a Republican primary, are socially and fiscally conservative. But and the old adage, Chuck, rings true, and I guess that they're upset that they have to do this, even though they're okay, even though they continue to do it. And the old adage is that you run as hard as you can to the right to get the nomination, and then you run as hard as you can back to the middle in order to win the race. And that was Mitt Romney's entire campaign plan to a T. His only problem was he was running up against people like a Rick Santorum or a Newt Gingrich or a Ron Paul or a Michelle Bachmann who could run rings around him on most of the issues. I mean, basically, when you get on a debate stage in a primary and you need to ask Ron Paul about questions about what the Constitution says, you're not doing so hot as the potential standard bearer for a party It's supposed to be about limiting government.
Oh, no. In fact, he was absolutely terrible. But the fact is, the party had picked him, and that means, since really the party runs the thing, unless people like Ron Paul or Michelle Bachmann or whoever, and let's not bring Newt Gingrich into this, because Gingrich is worse than Romney regarding the ability to say whatever he needs to say in order to get elected.
We'll leave that for another program. How's that?
Well, he's done, so we really don't even need to worry about him. He'll never hold public office again. But you're right. Romney basically had to ask Ron Paul about the Constitution on a debate stage. That's pretty bad, Barry. That's pretty bad. I mean, all he had to do was get a $2 copy of the thing that we put out on our Institute on the Constitution classes for free and carry it around with you.
I've always got a copy of my
little pocket Constitution. So if a question comes up, I'll say, well, that's not constitutional. I'll say, well, prove that. I pull it out and I say, here's the wording.
Exactly.
Show me where I'm wrong.
Well, okay. Now, speaking of wording, because I really want to catch this before we run out of time on this program. This phrasing that John Houston used exposes a whole lot about John Houston, too. And he's upset about Citizens United and saying it's awful for Republicans because why? Because all of this made their nominee go so far out of the mainstream on the positions he had to take to get through the election that he was damaged goods. Now, let's not kid ourselves, Chuck. The issues he's talking about are life and marriage.
Yes.
Those are the issues that he believes that all these other candidates who were pro-life and pro-marriage pushed their guy so far out of the mainstream, and then he had to take those positions. In other words, he didn't believe it. He just had to mouth it, and then it damaged him because nobody believed him when he ran back to the middle. So what he's saying is, we put forward a candidate who could flip-flop and waffle with the best of them, but we didn't want him to be tested on it in the primary so that he could roll out whatever he felt like he needed to do in the general without having somebody pointing back to, well, in the primary you said, which is exactly what happened to Mitt Romney.
Well, Barry, you know, here's the problem Mitt Romney had. Ron Paul and Michelle Bachmann voters never believed him when he attempted to take those positions, those supposedly far-right positions, during the primary season. And then the left, who he was pandering to votes for at the end, didn't believe him that he had run back from the positions he attempted to take during the primary. Because now with the new media, people no longer believe what they see on CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times. Nobody believes it anymore. Because they've been caught in so many lies that people are saying, well, let's go out and see what so-and-so is saying. Let's go see if we can dig up other sources. So there are now so many competing sources of information that when these candidates try that thing, it said, well, now, wait a minute. You said this over here, and now you're saying this now. Which is it?
But according to John Houston, it's all the fault of the Supreme Court allowing these pro-life and pro-family groups to actually get a little skin in the game and be able to endorse and support candidates that hold their value. You're pushing our guy to go out of the mainstream and take positions that, well, honestly, he shouldn't have to take. And this is consistent with John Houston, who at one time got a group of the pro-family folks in a room when he was Speaker of the House and basically said, okay, guys, we've done all the low-hanging fruit, which was basically nothing they had done just as far as pro-family legislation, and then tried to chide and belittle as many of the pro-family leaders as he possibly could. Now, this is right before a couple years later coming, as you mentioned in another meeting, to talk about how wonderful and great and how we need to come and endorse him and let him run for whatever he feels like. And if the Tea Party groups think that they're immune, John's got some animosity to you, too. He says, outside money that never would have been generated helped nominate unelectable U.S. Senate candidates in Republican primaries that lost in the general election. He's talking about Richard Murdoch in Indiana, and he's also talking about Todd Akin in Missouri. Now, they're crying because the Tea Party was responsible for pushing those guys over the top in Republican primaries and knocking off longtime, at least in Indiana, liberal Republican incumbents.
Now, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to make one final comment on that. The reason that Richard Murdoch and Akin lost in those races is precisely because Rents Priebus and the Republican National Committee pulled out complete support for them. In fact, belittled them publicly. At least Akin's statement was kind of stupid, but it wasn't something that couldn't be repaired. I mean, he made a dumb statement, but wasn't Murdoch's statement was completely true. And that is, he was belittled and excoriated and thrown out for saying that the fertilization of egg by sperm was in the hands of God, and that, yes, that even in the case of rape, it's not on automatic. God decides who gets pregnant and who doesn't. And that's the absolute truth. And if you don't believe that, then frankly, I don't know what you're doing in a Christian church. Life is in the hands of God. We're completely out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.